Joe, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of A Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Well. Oh, man. Yeah, so, Jack around the shack?
Jack around the shack.
Jack. We're gonna Jack to the Jack. Jack of the Jack in the round the shack tonight. Be-de-doo.
It's legit.
That actually happened.
Well, a lot of things happened, Will.
Yes, well, this is an interesting one. I don't know.
Oh
is right. I don't know how else to respond to this one, just because I kept saying that the whole movie. Oh no.
Yeah, you know, it's just like you're watching it and you think this is bad. This opening scene is garbage. And then you realize that's the whole movie.
I don't even know.
It's something. I can't remember the last time I've been so baffled.
This was my reaction. Wait for it. Yep, that was me.
You had a short circuit?
Yep, that was me. I just short circuited.
I mean, that's accurate. So, we're coming to an end.
Yeah, me, second time. Microsoft Sam decided to bork out.
Listen,
He's like, I'm only here. You only paid me for the intro. I'm not going to work for the rest of it.
This whole movie is Microsoft Sam.
It really is.
I'm not...
I swear this movie was made from outer space. I don't...
It has to be. It doesn't take place on Earth. Nothing is logical or... Like, it's one of those movies that when you really sit back and think about the plot, the logic...
Yeah.
It just fucking shits itself.
Oh, yeah. It shits the bed right away.
It shits
like,
in
it
your...
Doesn't, it doesn't even take its time.
It just, shits in your face. Right away. The more you think about it, the more broken it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And the less it makes sense. And that's why it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I actually, enjoy this. Sorry, I had to go on that tangent. You were saying that this year is coming to an end. This,
Yep.
1975. We're there.
What a ride. I love it.
This has been a real interesting year, because we've gotten some really good movies, and then we've gotten some absolute just trash movies.
I love it.
It's like, it's a good, blend.
It's great.
I think.
And this is it.
The other years, it's just like, shit, one good movie, shit. Like, you know, it's like, it's mostly, it's like, hard for me to decide what my categories are going to be, but at the end of this, I think I know, I have a clear definition of what my categories are going to be episode.
I know mine. I was unsure before this.
But now you know.
But now I know. I've seen the light.
Well, before
I've seen the coming of the Lord.
Before we get into that too much, well, that'll be at the end of the episode, but we have to talk about this glorious movie.
This piece of fucking garbage.
Yes. The movie we watched tonight was Frozen Scream.
Why are you saying was? It is. It's not was. Was implies that this movie stopped existing.
You know what? It doesn't exist in my...
No.
No.
This continues to
exist.
I'm
never going to watch it again, so...
That's some bullshit. See, you don't have to watch it. It's going to be there.
Yeah, it'll be in the corners of my mind just lurking.
It'll infect you.
Like hungry eyes.
This is going to be to you... What Help Me I'm Possessed was to me. It's gonna infect you, and you're gonna think and remember how this movie,
you and your evil.
Yeah, except in this case, it's just Microsoft Sam everywhere.
Yeah. No,
did you say the title?
Yeah, Frozen Scream.
Frozen Scream.
Like, no shit. Like, before we get into it, every single character talks like the intro we just did.
Except for the priest, who is the worst actor on the face of whatever planet they filmed this movie on.
All right, let's get into it because I got a lot to say about this movie. I don't want to wait too long.
Oh boy.
So we get a couple that's swimming in a pool in a house, and the woman jumps in the pool
after they make out
a little bit, and then some guy comes out of the bushes with these
big beady eyes,
and kills the guy. What does he kill the guy with again? I can't remember.
He hits him with like a hatchet.
Yeah, and then then the girl like gets up and does this like the fakest reaction I've ever seen.
She gets up and the guy's body is there and she's like pretend screaming.
No, she doesn't even scream really. She was just like and then like the guy grabs her and then drowns her in like 5 seconds flat.
Well, it's because he's got the eyes,
the hungry eyes.
The eyes, Chico.
Because he has like these eyes that are almost like popping out. They're so like big.
He's the best actor.
And then the next scene is Shaggy Dog. He makes a reappearance.
Shriek of the Mutilated.
Yeah, from Shriek of the Mutilated, we have Shaggy Dog, everyone.
But listen, you forgot to mention that before, in that first scene, there is brief narration about immortality.
Oh, you're right.
And the narrator tells us why would anyone want to live forever in a world like this?
Yeah.
And then we get Shaggy Dog bringing a body of a blonde woman into a lab.
Yes.
And so we're already off to a great start.
So there's this woman doctor and the male doctor.
Mm.
And they're operating on this woman. And they're talking about, like, just gobbledygook about, like, immortality and how this formula works.
Yeah.
But they can make, like, zombie slaves if they keep them cold enough.
Not quite.
I don't know.
You're implying, well, nobody says zombie slaves are cold in this scene because they are vague as fuck.
They talk about, like, controlling people.
Is vague as fuck.
They talk about, like, controlling people, though.
But it's just, like, nonsense.
And then they put, like, this, if you've ever seen, I don't know, like, the piece to a microphone or something.
Yeah.
It's, like, that little, like, thing with all the holes in it, like, kind of, like, looks like a beehive almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they just paste it to her neck, and then she grabs a scalpel and starts like fake cutting around it.
That's how they control people. They inject them with some gobbledygook, and then tape a gobbledygook, a thingamajig, to their neck. And then we get a woman who parks her car
on a hill
in the middle of the fucking woods.
On a hill,
proceeds to walk down the hill and teleport. Suddenly, she's in the middle of a fucking intersection in a city and gets in a phone booth and calls a man who is sitting in a house where it's daytime, but...
But it's nighttime when she's calling.
But it's nighttime when she's calling, like, pitch fucking black. But when it's his house, it's bright goddamn daylight, so...
And he's like, I wish you would get back to the house.
I miss you.
I miss you.
She's like, I miss you too. I don't like
it when you're away.
But I needed to be in my own bed for a while. Ha ha.
Ha ha ha. So they get off the phone.
And
that scene, like, there was no need for it.
Well, he starts freaking out for some reason.
He starts...
Excuse me. Starts getting worried about something.
Yeah, so he starts...
Someone is after him.
He starts calling...
Everybody.
Like... And then, like, at the end, he, like, calls, like, he calls for a priest.
He calls Father...
Father what's-his-face.
O'Brien.
Yeah. The fucking best actor on the planet. Best actor.
But he also calls the cops, presumably. Oh, no, he calls the detective.
And then as he's calling the detective, some guy walks into his house.
Well, you hear a window breaking.
Yep. And then he gets a gun out of his drawer, and he, like, goes looking. Over, and then he, like, shoots the guy, and the guy, like, flies back into the wall.
Well, not yet. You're forgetting the guy just, like, kind of walks up to him and just kind of, you know, fucking bares his eyes at him. And then he, like, shoots him, and the guy falls down the stairs in slow motion.
Oh, yeah, and like, as... it's funny because the actor that shot him is, like, down, like, coming down the stairs, too. But the actor that's falling is behind him.
Yeah.
So it's funny because
he has to run away.
The actor that has the gun has to run away from the falling body down the stairs. So the falling
body doesn't hit him.
And then
in the movie.
And he opens a door and a guy like looks in the doorway and like the guy just fucking like
shoots him right in the face.
You're not going to take me alive, and then shoots him right in the head.
correction. You won't take me alive. And then he shoots him, and then the guy's like, yes, we will. And
they inject him with the shit. And then he fights him off, and they run away because the girl is there now.
Yeah, but he's dead.
But he's dead, apparently.
Or is he?
Listen, Alex, what? You gotta chill.
With what?
Get it? He gotta chill. Yes.
Nope.
Okay.
I got nothing. Nothing to say to you.
Then we see Anne. The wife. Oh, you remember
her fucking name?
Yeah, I do.
I remember her as Microsoft Sam number 5.
Yeah. What was the Microsoft, like the girl version of Microsoft Sam?
What, Taylor Swift?
No.
The blonde? I don't know. She did a seance and that was it. Their character. The end.
I don't know.
I don't fucking know anything.
So, Anne apparently is talking to the doctor, and this is like the doctor we saw before operating on the body.
Yes. And the foreign doctor.
And she talks about how she was attacked, too, by two guys. So the guys came back in, I guess?
Well, no. She's saying she saw the guys. But everyone told her, you didn't see nothing, you're just crazy. And
like they're trying to chalk it up to the husband just had a heart attack?
Yes, because they didn't find any, like...
And one of the doctors who's in on the operations wrote off that he had a heart attack, basically.
Yep.
And so the doctor tries to comfort her and is like, you know, like, just, I think you should, like, see other people. And I was like, her husband just died.
But, after 5 minutes of gobbledygook...
Yeah, they just keep talking, and then we get...
The narrator.
The narrator, which is the detective.
Now, have you seen the film noir before?
Yes, I've seen many film noirs.
In film noirs where tough guys do narration over women and bad shit.
Well, you know what's also happening in those film noirs? No one's fucking talking while they're narrating.
Well, I disagree. This is groundbreaking. Because the scene... Okay, I don't even know. The scene is still going, right?
The scene between the doctor and Anne is still going.
They are still talking.
At audio volume.
And the narrator, it's like they turned the scene dialogue down to 50.
Slightly down, yeah.
Not slightly, it's like 50. But his narration is at 100. So, they're still talking. And he is narrating... bullshit. And then the scene changes and he is still narrating and there is another character talking. And like, it's like, well, was the dialogue so bad?
I just love it because he's talking about, like, oh yeah, Anne and me used to go out, but now she hurt me when she left me.
I don't know if I really trust her. I think she may have been crazy.
But I still love her, and like, I'm going to prove that she can love me too, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm going to figure out
what happened to Tom, and I'm going to it's going to be hard, but I'm going to crack the case.
But then he keeps deflecting back to the fact that, like, Anne, he's, like, madly in love with Anne.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps going back to that fact, and it happens throughout the whole movie.
It's garbage. But...
So...
A new scene starts, and then...
Now the detective is questioning...
The doctor.
The doctor. He's at the hospital, and he wants to see Anne, but she said that she just sedated her, so...
Yeah.
And then he's, like, questioning her, like... I can't even remember what he asks her, just, like, stuff about Tom's death, and, like... how he died and like where he died and what, like, you know, what happened. And then the doctors are like, oh shit. So the doctor talks about Anne and is like, you know, I really like her, and like, we've been working closely together on this, like, other thing, and I can't even remember, like, I really can't remember the dialogue. It's so unimportant
because it's absolute insanity.
Yeah, none of it, like, it pertains to the actual plot.
Well, it does. It's just the, like...
Well, then I love...
the vaguest shit ever.
The best thing ever happens because the detective actually said, well, that was the worst acting job I've ever seen.
Meta. Meta. But see, yeah, and yeah.
So, and then we get even more narration while doctors, while the two, like, evil doctors are talking.
Oh, yeah, well, first, like, the one male doctor is talking about, we need to get rid of him. He's snooping around too much, and he's going to find out about Anne and all his garbage. Then
he starts narrating.
We get, well, yeah, after he starts narrating again.
And then they're still talking, and we don't know what they're talking about, but he's still talking about how much he loves Anne and
matter.
How he's going to crack the case.
It don't matter. What does matter, though, is the next scene
when
Anne has a bad dream.
So she wakes up, and she's, like, on a beach somewhere or something, and there's a blonde lady, a Grim Reaper in the back that has crazy eyes.
There is Tom,
Tom,
the guy in the beginning, behind her, and he's wearing, like, a monk's robe. And then there's the blonde woman, who we saw earlier.
Who's wearing a white gown.
And then behind her is a Grim Reaper.
Yeah, it's the crazy-eyed guy, and he has, like, a giant scythe.
Yeah. And then the guy's just like, do you love me? Turn around. Take off your clothes.
Turn around.
Turn around.
And it's a total eclipse of the heart, man.
I mean, it was an eclipse of my brain.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Listen, it's a fucking eclipse of my brain, okay? And he tells her, you know, take off your clothes. So she takes off her clothes.
Well, she starts, like, she does undoes one strap and then looks behind her. And Tom is now...
Tom is turning around. And then he turns at her.
And then she screams.
And he is a skeleton! He's a
bloody skeleton.
And then the Grim Reaper scythe just flashes in front of the camera.
And then we get a beach party.
Okay, excuse me, bitch. You're missing, like, 20 things. So she then is released to go home. I'm using quotation marks.
Listen, I don't care if I miss 20 things. I don't fucking care.
I do.
I don't know why you do.
Because this is important plot
stuff. No, the next big thing is the beach thing.
Yeah, but I'll get to the setup. So they're driving home, and then Anne is angry because the doctor won't explain her dreams. But then they start talking about it.
By the way, I want to mention they never actually talked about her deciphering her dreams.
No.
Ever, ever.
But it's just brought up in this one scene. But then they start talking more about this beach thing party, and
it was like the end of
the semester, and it was also Halloween. So they took the male doctor and the female doctor took all these students to this party next to some rocks, and
Tom is there, and the girl.
I'm trying to think of how the fuck to explain this goddamn scene. They're just there, and then, like, they just kind of stand around like robots, and then Tom comes out of nowhere drunk and starts talking about how he doesn't have a soul.
Well, and they apologize to the professor and say, like, oh, I'm sorry, like, he gets this way from time to time and all this stuff.
Because he's drunk.
He's like, I have no soul, I'm sin, and like, then the preacher starts talking about some weird thing. He, like, starts off the seance.
No, he starts off talking about immortality.
Yeah.
And how different religions have their own... Every religion has their own view of immortality. While Tom is arguing with the professor. The professor is butthurt. The Tom insists there is no soul.
Right.
He's butthurt. And they decide, let's do our shit. Let's do our seance. So they all gather in a circle, and they start chanting about love and immortality over and over. And then, but this is also when we see the...
Well, just remember, we also see the girl, the random-ass girl get murdered for no reason.
That's after this.
That's before this.
It's after.
It's before.
It's after.
It's before,
dude. I have it in my notes, bitch.
I have it in my notes. It's before.
No, it's after.
It's before.
It's after, bitch.
I guarantee it's before. The garage scene where she gets murdered, it's before all the seance shit.
Oh, Jesus. Is it before the woman gets naked? Exactly.
No, because the blonde girl turns around, and then she talks about deciphering her dreams, and then they drive to the house.
But that's the whole scene.
Because remember, she remembers the beach scene again, because they go back, she remembers the scene again at the beach. This movie is broken.
But that is the beach scene.
Not the whole beach scene, though. There's two beach scenes.
What was the other one?
The other one is where they start doing the love and immortality.
That's this one.
No, and then Tom goes and talks to the preacher. I guarantee you, the girl gets murdered first. It's not even an important scene because you never see her ever again. She just gets murdered in a garage, and she acts all stupid, and then the guy hatchets her, and then now we can get back to your precious beach scene. Okay?
So here's the only thing I remember is they start doing the thing, and then the priest goes and talks to Tom, and the priest is the worst actor on the planet because he's, like, fidgeting and, like, his tone is all over the fucking place, and he's, like, sweating.
Somewhere in between all this, the girl gets murdered in the garage. I know that for sure.
I mean, I do know that that scene
but happened. Yes, it doesn't matter because, again, the girl never shows up again. She gets hatcheted in the face while looking around her own garage for some weird thing.
We're also never told who she is.
Yep, and so she gets hatcheted in the face, and then, like, it's just gore for no reason.
The scene continues.
So now the beach scene, we can get back to your
the best scene. All
precious love and immortality.
Love and immortality. Love and
immortality. So they all, like, gather around a circle. And
they,
like,
hold hands, and they just say over and over, love and immortality.
And then for some reason, the blonde girl breaks away and, like, starts swaying back and forth.
It looks like a fucking, like, underwear commercial. Well, like,
taking off her clothes and, like, she, like, wrapped, like, she, like...
Don't forget the close-up of the doctor.
Oh my god, yeah.
I don't know, like, the scenes are, like, so off, because it's showing the blonde woman, like, kind of just rocking back and forth and looking all seductive and taking her clothes off, and then it shows the female doctor, and the look on her face is like if you spit in her fries.
Yeah.
Or if you, like... I don't know, if you stepped on, like, or if she dropped a donut on the ground. Yeah,
it's weird. She's, like, inconvenienced by something.
Yeah, like...
And then the girl, like, starts... And then she turns around and she's holding, like, her boobs.
She's attempting to censor herself, but not really.
No, because, like, a nipple is popping out.
I don't know. And then, but the whole scene is, like, against a black background. Like, everyone around her is just gone.
Yeah.
And she just kind of rocks back and forth while there's, like, while someone off camera blows a wind machine in her hair.
It looks like you had mentioned, it looks like a Victoria's Secret ad.
It seriously looks like a Victoria's Secret ad, because it's just like, or a shampoo commercial, right?
Yeah, right.
You see those shampoo commercials, like, where the
herbal,
hair is all...
herbal essences kind of thing?
Yeah. Like, where the hair is all flowing. That's what it looks like.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Exactly. But it's just like, I don't know what it means. She just...
I don't know what any of this scene means.
I don't know if this scene is before or after she gets a microphone planted on her fucking throat.
It never says.
But apparently, she's... chosen?
I don't know.
Fucking know.
So then that scene ends, and they're back in the car, and then... They pull up to the house, and, like, the...
She keeps talking about, like... She just...
Immortality.
All, like... she does, eventually, just... She kind of sums up... the beach scene. She's just like, blah, 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 love and immortality. And then my favorite, though, is it just shows Anne. She's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, like, she's like, what do you... Well, like, I thought it was obvious what your dreams were and, like, all this stuff. And, like, well, like, what do you think about them? I don't know.
That's my reaction to this whole scene.
I don't know. That's my reaction to us arguing about when the fucking garage scene is, because I have no idea when it actually was.
It's somewhere. I just
know it's somewhere in there.
It's somewhere. It's somewhere unrelated to an unrelated piece of dialogue. But
I have to apologize, because it actually doesn't matter.
No. I don't know who it was.
I don't either. No, we don't. Neither of us know who the fuck it was or why that scene was even important.
All I know is some fucking goon who looks like Elijah Wood runs around murdering people for no fucking reason with a hatchet.
So then the doctors talk again.
Oh god.
Like, about more immortality bullshit.
Now they're in front of a fireplace.
Yeah, and they're fucking just like, they're just like lounging in front of a fireplace.
And suddenly,
oh my god, the
female doctor talks about how she was married before. Well, first of all, we find out that those two are fucking.
Yeah, the two doctors are in a relationship.
They're fucking in between putting microphones on people's throats.
Yeah.
And hot. The most hot shit.
Dude, nothing gets me going like putting a microphone on someone's neck.
And making them cold.
Yes, and making them cold and do my bidding even though they're uncontrollable.
And talking like Microsoft Sam. But suddenly she just out of nowhere is just like, I was married. My husband went off to Vietnam and died. Blah, buddy, blah, blah. And then we get a random fucking scene of her, like, spasming in front of a candle.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, like, rubbing herself and all this stuff. And she has this, like, just incredibly low-cut dress, like, on for some reason.
She wears it more than once in scenes where she shouldn't be wearing it.
And there's, like, this, like you said, the giant-ass candle. And she, like, takes this, like a tiny scalpel and, like, cuts her wrist with it. And then, like...
Can I just say I love the music?
And then, like, she puts it on her mouth and, like, sucks it. While it, like...
Oh, God.
I don't even know, like...
And then we get the blonde woman just staring at her. For no reason.
Yep, and then she, like, snaps out of it and she has, like, red lipstick on her lips. Was that, like, a metaphor for something? I have no fucking idea.
All I remember is she snaps out of it, and the next day, it's class. And Anne is going to class, and then she looks at the classroom, and in the classroom, the doctor is talking about immortality.
Can I just talk about this fucking classroom, though?
Are you talking about the fact that it looks like jury duty?
It looks like a bunch of bored, like,
middle-aged people?
Middle-aged adults.
It looks like jury duty.
There was, like, I swear to God, there was, like, someone that was 50, there was, like, 30s, like, fucking... Anything past, like, 30s, there was,
not a single person there looked like a student.
No. No one looked like a student. They looked like what I imagine night classes look like.
Or night court.
Yeah, right? Night court, exactly. Like, it looks like the kind of people that enjoy, like public court.
Yes, the kind of people who go there just for shits and giggles. That
actually, like, go to public court to just watch appeals.
The kind of people who would go to be an extra in Frozen Scream.
Yep, they're like a classroom scene in a new upcoming movie. Hot dog, I'm there.
Yeah, they told me it's some, like, philosophical movie. I can't wait.
It's about, like, love and immortality or something like that.
It's fucking awesome. Man, I can't wait to see it.
This is going
to
be the greatest movie known to man. How wrong they were.
How right they were. This is better. This is the best. But, you know, she for the millionth fucking time talks about immortality.
Yes.
And then suddenly, the detective shows up. And by the way, can I just say that not a single fucking person in this movie can, like, introduce themselves to Anne like a normal human being?
No.
You know how everyone in this movie introduces themselves to her? Boom! She'll just stand there looking at something, and then someone just grabs her hand, and then just like, oh, hello. Like I said, it's aliens. It's fucking aliens made this goddamn movie.
Yes.
And the detective talks to her, and, you know,
So it's weird, because they start, like, arguing over, like, her husband.
Garbage.
And he starts saying, like, how Tom was involved with all this stuff, and she gets, like, angry.
And then even though they're having the most limp dick argument ever of text-to-speech versus text-to-speech,
mm-hmm.
they go to lunch, maybe? And they're sitting at lunch quietly. And then all of a sudden, you're lying. Tom would never do anything like that.
And she runs away and he runs after her. Then we get some random scene of the blonde lady just, like, stiffly laying in bed.
And then she gets up.
She gets up, makes a couple calls.
And then says, he's with her. Yes. Do it.
So then we get another...
She fucking knows.
We get another scene of the doctors operating on someone. I don't know who.
Some hoe.
And then we get a scene of the priest at confessional.
No, we get... Remember, they go to the priest first.
Oh, that's right. They talk to the priest first.
Because they talk about blah-bitty blah.
Because he was like, yeah, like, all this stuff, like, you know.
Nothing.
I can't tell you what Tom said. It's, like, basically, like, doesn't...
The scene is pointless.
It doesn't, like, solve anything. Nothing. Because he basically just says he can't say anything because it was all a confession.
All we get is some fancy fucking cinematography and a scene that goes goddamn nowhere. Because they're just like, hey, can you tell us this thing?
No.
No.
That's it.
But it goes on for, like, 5 minutes. Nothing. And then he goes to confessional and, you know, just, I have father, I have sinned.
And he's like, tell him, I love the priest, because he's like the most awkward actor I've ever seen. He's like, he like rubs his, bored. He rubs his face a little bit. He's like, tell me your sins.
He looks bored. Kind of like, I don't get paid enough for this shit.
Yep.
And then a guy just sticks his hand.
And then you see a hand come through the thing and like choke him.
Well, first he's like, I demand absolution. I demand absolution! And then he chokes him, and which is a theme in this movie. Apparently, when you become a frozen goo goo gaga corpse, you get a choke fetish. Because that's what everyone does, eventually.
Yeah.
So they get something warm, gotta choke it. Because this movie's dumb.
There you go. Because they're cold, Alex. And hell is warm.
Oh, okay, but...
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't...
What does that mean?
That's what the explanation they give. I have no idea.
You call that an explanation?
No.
That's nothing.
So the next scene is where Anne gets attacked.
Oh, yeah. The Goombas attack her.
The Goombas attack her and she gets away.
And then she knocks on the door with the blonde woman and then she doesn't answer. And then...
Then she runs down the hallway and they're still attacking her. And then she runs back to the hallway and we get the same scene of her knocking on the door.
And then opening the door now. And there's no... And instead of the woman, there's a guy in a monk costume hiding in the bed. And he holds a knife to his thumb.
Oh, I love it. Because, yeah, he holds a knife to her throat. But, like, on the blade itself, so it's is his thumb.
He's like holding her in, like, a choke position, right? And also has a knife. But the knife is, like... It's not on her throat. It's over his thumb.
It's like he's trying to protect her from, like, getting cut by, like, holding the knife to his thumb.
Or when they filmed this, somehow the guy playing the monk had no fucking clue how to hold the knife to someone's throat because he's a fucking alien. But he leaves. He basically tells her, like, you know, don't... He basically...
Well, he said, no, he says, I have a message from Tom.
Don't
he
do
says
this.
He's cold. Hell is so cold.
And then he just tells her, like, stop snooping, basically.
Yeah, then basically. The blonde woman's there again.
And she's like,
where were you?
Oh, I just came up here because I heard screaming. And she's like, I touched your hand. You are so cold.
And then the detective's there for some fucking reason. Like, oh, after Jesus that.
Fucking Christ.
And they talk about the attack and, like, what just fucking happened. And they...
Then we get the... another scene with the doctors.
Yeah, because they're mad at Anne because she's, like, figuring too much out.
And, so, the male doctor is, like, a Swede.
Oh, my God,
or
yeah.
Some sort of Scandinavian. And
well, they're both foreign.
Yeah, because, you know... kooky foreign doctors, but he previously had, you know, an accent, sort of, but now it's a black man's voice.
It sounds like a black man's voice.
I'm sorry, it is a black man's voice now. I had to rewind this shit because I could not believe my ears. Like, did the other actor just die?
It is, but I'm okay with it because that voice is smooth as silk.
Some Barry White shit, like...
It's great.
It's so fucking weird.
They changed voice actors for him, like, 3 times, I swear to God.
But it's so baffling, like...
I know.
What happened to the other guy?
I don't know.
Did he quit? Was he just like, oh, this is fucking garbage?
Or they're just like, hey, like, just drop the accent.
He's like, oh, okay, I'll just fucking 70s R&B singer.
Yeah, I'll just talk normally, I guess.
And it's just, it's so wrong... But they argue and they...
But it's weird because it's like a 70s R&B singer, but if he was like monotone and sounded like a computer voice.
Exactly.
It's really weird.
It's all text-to-speech.
Yeah, it really sounds like it.
It's all fucking text-to-speech, and eventually they keep doing these experiments and it shows you that like they cut the subject's skin.
They heal really quick.
It's like heals right away, which... It, you know, I guess explains why the other guy shot the fucking dude in the face and nothing happened.
So now we get a scene of the detective and Anne in bed.
They just fucked.
They just fucked. And he's like, oh, Anne, I love you so much.
And then she just kind of, you know, goes on to talk about some other nonsense. And then he's just like, he tells her to go to the doctor's office and get this stuff.
Well, oh my god, this scene where he's like, she's in the doctor's office looking through things.
And then out of nowhere,
the narration starts again.
What's he say, Will?
He's like, well, I don't really know why Anne wouldn't say I love you back, but that's why I needed time to think, and that's why I sent her to investigate the doctor's office.
Garbage.
You know why she wouldn't say I love you back? Because her husband just died like a few days ago, you fucking asshole!
She can't say she loves you because she's a fucking monotone robot. Bitch. Ain't nobody in this movie got emotions. Then.
Oh my god. And then, okay. Like, she goes back and they talk more about...
They go to a park and they talk more about this thing and how she's gonna go to a party because it's Halloween now, which means that it's been a fucking year since the first party.
And they're gonna, like, figure out what the immortality thing
is. And then
means.
We get the best scene of all time with
Jack
the best song.
We're on the shack tonight. We're gonna jack to the broad daylight. We're gonna jack around the shack tonight.
I don't know if if there's enough words in the English language to describe everything wrong with this scene. So, okay. There's a band. There is clearly a sound of a piano.
Yes.
There is no piano.
Right.
You almost never actually see anyone singing.
I think the piano sound is because they changed the tone, like, of the audio of the guitars, like, way down, so it doesn't sound like...
But it's a piano.
I know. It sounds like a piano. I don't know. Like, because...
You know
like,
why? Because that band wasn't playing.
Well, I love it because they have to do a generic fucking version of Rock Around the Clock tonight.
Because if you sat through the credits, which take like 30 minutes, by the way, so if you sat through all 30 minutes of the credits, you will find out there is no music credits on the movie. So what they did is they took Rock Around the Clock and just... Okay, first of all, most of it sounds like your drunk uncle. Doing bad karaoke.
Yeah,
and then it gets to the chorus and just jack around the shack. Clever.
Yeah, jack around the shack. Imagine that.
And then it shows a dancers. There's a woman who's like in her underwear for no reason.
And they're all jumping around. It shows that clip a bunch of times.
A bunch of fucking times. The same goddamn clip. We see a guy like... hitting on a woman, and then for some reason he like rips off her fucking... What the fuck did he rip off? It's like the thing that's just like covering her shoulder.
Her shawl.
Yeah, he just rips it off. He's like, hey, come get your shawl. Aw, shit.
And then just drops it and then leaves.
Yeah, but as he's leaving, he just goes, aw, shit. Like, excuse me?
So while this generic ass party is going on, Anne goes to find the lab, and she like ends up in a house.
Can I just say, as she's about to go in the house, there's one of the monks, the evil monks outside,
the Goombas,
and a random dog with a collar, just sort of walks up to him.
I love it because he pets it a little bit, and then he just like
chokes it.
Then you just see his like face like. Tense and like his eyes get all wide and he's like
and like his O face
pretty much
because
yeah.
You know the dog is warm and he has to choke it because he's a bad guy.
So Anne finds the lab and does absolutely nothing about it. She just was like,
well,
she finds the frozen bodies.
She finds the frozen bodies just kind of awkwardly standing there, and then one of them like wakes up.
And they all start attacking her. And then she runs out of the house, and the detective's there.
And he's like, run! And then they both start running, and then the detective...
No, so they go back into the house, remember? And then they get attacked by the frozen zombies.
So he finds her in the house, and he's like, why are you hiding? And then the two frozen guys are now wearing robes, and they...
attack.
And then they run outside.
And this is when he says, like, run!
And then he gets into a fight with one of them. Where they kind of just breathe at each other. Because this is the audio.
He's trying to choke him. And then the guy, like, the detective, like, scratches at his neck and, like, pulls something, like, pulls the little speaker off.
Okay, but you never actually see that.
No, you see his, like, throat bleeding.
We just assume. Because previously, they got shot in the fucking face.
Yeah.
and it didn't do anything. But now he apparently, like, I don't know. He, like, scratches his throat and kills him because I guess he scratched off the fucking taped microphone thing.
And we get the dumbest scene. So Anne runs away and she, like, starts running past into a building.
Don't forget.
I'm getting there because it shows Anne running away and the detective's trying to follow her and he's like, you know, he's like wary from the battle apparently, and then like he's just standing there and a car like starts driving up and then it apparently hits him.
Yeah.
And then even though it was going like 10 miles an hour and like the guy was clearly standing in the middle of the road.
But that's the best part is because when the guy gets out, he's like, you just came out of nowhere.
He just came out of nowhere. It's like, no, he didn't. He was there the whole time.
You could have seen him from like a mile away.
Yeah.
In the bright fucking road. You could have seen him. Also, there's a random dog walking around in the road.
Oh, that's the greatest, yeah.
Like, it's just there. They can reshoot that scene, I guess. Whatever. But Anne runs from the countryside into a random industrial area and runs into a hobo.
Runs into a hobo who wants a drink. And
the guy's like, you want a drink? And then the monk runs up to him and just kind of
just shuffles him around and pushes him against the wall.
And then as he runs,
I guess he didn't want a drink. So Anne runs into a building, and apparently this is the hardest door to close ever. It has, like, one of those hydraulic things on it.
Aliens.
But she's just, like, struggling to push it closed. I'm like, the hydraulics are not that strong in that kind of door.
I've literally never, ever had seen this happen in the real world.
No, she's, she closes it.
At first
it.
I was like, is he pushing against the
door?
Because
he appears at the door later.
No, it's just, apparently those hydraulic doors in whatever planet this movie's set on are fucking impossible.
Yeah.
So she's just like, and then the guy, like, you know, he's like, oh, fuck, and he goes on the roof.
And then so she runs underneath the stairs, and you hear someone coming down the stairs. And then it's the like a night guard.
And he turns around and shines his flashlight.
Who are you?
What are you doing here?
Who are you?
I'm
the night guard.
No, first she's like, who are you? I don't know who you are. I'm the night guard.
You're putting too much emotion into that.
I'm putting something in it.
Who are you? I don't know you. I'm the night guard.
He sounded like text-to-speech Jimmy Stewart.
It's true.
I'm the night guard.
Then he hears something, so he goes up the stairs to investigate.
And she just goes back under the fucking stairs.
And the Goomba shoves like a piece of glass into the night guard's eye.
And we get like an effect of like the glass sticking in the guy's eyeball.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know, the effects aren't bad, considering how this movie looks like it cost maybe $5. Mm-hmm. They're not bad.
So the Goomba starts coming down the stairs, and, like, he gets to, like, the step, and, like, Anna all of a sudden is not underneath the stairs. She's just
there,
standing next to the stairs.
And she's just like, who are you? And then he looks at her.
He rears his ugly head.
And then suddenly the female doctor shows up and she tells him, like, stop it. Your usefulness has run out. Blabbity blah blah. And what's she say? In hell. She's like, touch your forehead. And he starts touching his forehead. It's warm.
But in hell, it's cold. Or I don't even remember. It's such horse shit. I don't even remember.
In hell, it's insert temperature.
Yeah, she says something about cold and then something about warm.
I don't remember because there was a scene previously where they said hell is cold, but part of me thinks in this scene she says hell is hot. Which is it, movie? I don't know. So she says whatever, but here's the thing. Whatever she says blows his mind so much, he fucking dies, I guess.
Yeah.
And the next scene, Anne is just like strapped to a table.
On the operating table.
And they're just like, sorry we had to kidnap you.
But you wouldn't comply and like,
we have to finish our experiment.
And the like male doctor is like, well, we're gonna have to like, you know, this will only sting a lot and like all this stuff. And then the lady doctor is like, you never said we were gonna do that to her.
You lied to me. And then she slowly, and I do mean slowly,
raises a gun, all the way above her head.
Yep, like she's shooting it, like the target is above a fucking wall.
Yeah, like she's trying to reach over a wall and then shoot.
We get random inserts of the male doctor's eyes staring blankly at what is supposed to be a gun that's about to shoot him, but the facial expression is just like dead, just nothing.
Then the female doctor shoots him,
and she hits him right in the microphone thing.
And then the girl is like, "Oh, just get me out of here."
Well, first she's like, "I loved him," and then she immediately starts telling her like, "But you and me, we can work together. We can succeed in the experiment." Blah, blah,
blah. And then Anne's like, "I'll never work for you. I'll never do that.
You're a monster.
You're a monster.
Look what you did to them." And then, because
the doctor like releases her, and then
the frozen zombies are all like standing in a corner.
Right. And then Anne goes over to the control switch and is like, "Well, like this research should never fall into anyone's hands." And like the doctor's like, "No, not my research." And then, like, Anne starts just flicking a bunch of switches.
And random firecrackers go off.
Yeah, but, like, nothing happens. Like, nothing explodes.
All that happens is...
just a bunch of smoke. Oh, and then the frozen people get electrocuted.
They die. Excuse me. Die permanently.
Yes.
And because they get something.
And then there's, like, just, like, puffs of smoke around the lab, but nothing's destroyed.
We get random shots of, like, firecrackers, and it's, like... simulating the feeling, oh, the lab is going to shit. But then, like, the smoke clears.
And nothing is bad. And
the lab is, like, fucking crystal clean.
Yeah.
And then the doctor's just like, "You shouldn't have done that. I'll have to, like, I didn't want to do this to you." And then the priest comes out of nowhere.
And he has a mic. Oh, yeah, no, she's like, help me, father. Help me, she's crazy. And then he's like, "Yes, I will help you." And then tilts his head to the side. And there's a microphone on his neck.
And then she starts screaming, and then you get a close-up of the thing.
And needle going into her arm. And then you see more, we get more exposition from the detective saying, like, "Oh, I don't know what happened to Anne, well, but I was..."
The exposition is, he's laying in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of...
waiting for Anne.
And the doctor, the priest, and Anne are just kind of looking at him as he's, like, out of it. And then he wakes up...
looks over at Anne and is like...
"Who are these people?"
And then, like, I love the exposition. "Well, she finally told me something
I wanted to hear
for a long time."
And then she's like... and
close up of her eyes and she's like, "I love you.
Forever.
Forever.
We for can it's meet. All eternity."
And then, like, he's like, "Wait, who are all these people?"
Well, that was before. Because before he's like, "Who are all these people?" And then she tells him she loves him and he kind of calms down. And then he, like... moves her hair over and sees the
microphone thing,
and then he starts freaking out, and then she's like, "Love and immortality," and then the priest is like, "Love,"
and then Anne holds him down and the doctor like opens his like eyelid.
For some reason she has to inject the...
it's so they could get the final shot.
Okay, but
it's so they could get the final shot. So we see the needle coming like closer and closer to the screen. And then, like...
it jizzes all over you.
Just red and white. And then roll credits. The slowest credit crawl I've ever seen in my entire life.
I think I get it now.
Yeah.
The final shot of the movie is the movie doing a money shot over the audience.
Yeah.
I get it now.
The director's like, "Oh, yeah, it's so good. Oh, it's so good."
I get it. You know what? Respect. And then we get the slowest... credits I have ever fucking seen in my goddamn life.
Oh yeah. It took so fucking long.
I commented that it looks like dial up.
Yeah.
Like when you'd load a picture on dial up and like it would just like frame by frame go. That's what the credits look like. Like the text looks like it's fighting to get up.
Yes.
Because there's barely any names in there. So they had to somehow pad it out. And their idea was, let's just make this really fucking slow.
Yeah. Sounds good, right?
That's it.
That's
Frozen Scream.
Now...
I love this movie.
I love it for the wrong reasons.
Oh, no.
Or are they the right reasons?
I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't love it for the fact that it's a good movie at all.
Oh, God, no.
I love it for the fact that it tried so goddamn hard.
But it didn't, though.
That's the cinematography did.
The only thing about the movie that's good is the cinematography. There are so many, like, wannabe, like, stylish shots in this. Like, close-up of people's eyes reacting and, like, shots, like, from straight up at 90-degree angles and, like, you know, dolly shots and tracking shots and all this, like, fancy shit. Fancy shit.
For a shit movie.
Compared to the last movie we watched, this looks like a fucking goddamn, like, Martin Scorsese movie or something.
Yeah.
Just, like, classy shit. And all of that is in this? Because I'm not joking. Every aspect of this movie, other than the cinematography, is absolute garbage.
I agree.
I can't defend a single aspect of this.
No.
On an objective level, this is absolute garbage. And that's why it's awesome.
My final thought is it doesn't feel like a movie that was made by human beings.
Mm-mm.
It feels like a movie that was made from someone who doesn't understand human, like, communication or, like, how humans interact with each other at all.
Yeah.
It's like a weird experience watching it because it feels like something like a crappy AI would make.
It is.
Like, it's literally something a crappy AI would make.
It's like a crappy AI watched, like, shit movies and then made a fucking mishmash of what it watched.
Like, the effects, some of the effects are okay for the
trying to, like, I don't know.
But, like...
The effects aren't bad and, like, I mean...
Like you said, the cinematography is good, but that's all I can give it. Like, I can't give it anything else because if I did, I think I'd be giving it too much credit.
I can't. No, the funniest, one of the funniest things to me, though, is for half of the movie, it pretends like it's building up to something, right?
Yeah.
To some grand philosophical, like, insanity, right? Because it's so vague. It's so, like, I can't emphasize this enough. The first, like, half of this movie is so vague about the, like, plot that it almost fools you into thinking that this is about something big, right?
But there's no, like, payout.
But you know what the movie's about? It's about two fucking badly dubbed doctors turning people into frozen zombies.
Yes.
That's it!
That's all it is.
All those conversations in the beginning of the movie about love and immortality and playing God and there's no soul and the dream sequences.
Bullshit.
All of that was for a movie where
evil doctors make
frozen zombies who walk around in monk costumes and choke warm people.
Stay frosty.
Stay frosty.
Damn. That's all I have to say about it. It is not a movie made for human beings, and it is not made by human beings. Because
did you see the forecast tonight, Will?
Snow.
A freeze is coming.
Yes. Winter is here. I don't know, like, I'm just so confused by it, like, because it's like, it's not a natural movie at all. Like,
the funny thing is, like,
you have to try really hard to make a movie this bad.
That's the thing, is like,
it's weird.
It's almost like,
you have to try so fucking hard to make a movie that is this bad.
Yeah, like, and we spent a lot of it thinking, like trying to figure it out, right? Because we're just like, what the flying fuck is this about? But then, like, once they, I sort of revealed them the plot, by then it's so stupid and so simple-minded that it just makes it better.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it built up to nothing, that it built up to, like, just dumb B-movie schlock is hilarious.
Yeah, I love it.
Because they really tried to cover it up.
Oh my god, yeah.
With the fancy cinematography and all that shit, and then it just, you just get Jack around the shack and frozen zombies. That was it.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, do you have anything to add?
Watch this movie.
Just watch it, because you need to experience
it. People talk about...
You need to experience this. Like you said before this, we recorded this podcast, this should be a cult film.
Because, 100%. This is a cult film.
I couldn't agree with you more. It feels like what exactly a cult film should be.
And I think everyone needs to see this. It's such insanity. And it's so entertaining. Like, we were having a ball. We did not have to check the time or anything. We were just, like, enthralled in... Because each scene was some new insanity.
Like, it's so bad that it's, like, insanely entertaining to watch this weird mashup of, like, some, like, foreign species trying to make a movie.
And the fact that it's, like, it almost seems, like you said, like they were putting effort into being bad.
It feels that way, and that's why you have to watch it. Like, because you have to... Nothing... We can't describe how it actually is.
Because there's nothing boring in it. Like, every scene is interesting in some bad way. And the fact that every acting performance is shit. Every acting performance. Every, like, reaction is wrong. The, like, suspense is fucked up. Like, not a single actual aspect of this movie other than the cinematography has done well.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Even accidentally.
Yeah.
Because normally in these movies, like, as shit as they are, you'll still get a scene where, like, you can be like, oh, that was okay. In this, though, every scene you sit through is just like, wow, that was shit.
I am convinced that they just wanted to make them worst movie mm-hmm. possible.
Disagree. I think they really wanted to make a... I don't know if, like, there was some serious miscommunication going on here. I don't know if, like... Because you found out.
I don't know what happened.
Three people wrote this movie, which is fucking baffling to me. Three fucking people, okay? Like, two people wrote The Godfather.
Yeah.
Three people wrote this movie. Okay, whatever. But, like, it almost feels like the writers wrote a piece of shit B-movie schlock, and the director had, delusions of grandeur. Like, the director really wanted to, like, turn this into his own personal, like, Citizen Kane.
So you think this was, like, supposed to be, like, magnum opus?
I think this is a case of a director overcompensating.
Yeah.
This is the movie version of a man with a tiny penis buying a Lamborghini.
Fair.
That's what I think. Because the script, if you think about the script, it's garbage, right?
Yeah.
It's a movie about frozen zombies.
Right.
But the director looked at it and thought to himself, how can I make this into my magnum opus?
I mean, I'll buy it.
Because think about it.
Because it kind of makes sense. Because, like...
You're a first-time director. You have a... Let's just say you have a big fucking ego, right?
Well, because you can tell he put a lot of effort into this film, into making this film.
Because, like you said, like, the individual cinematography is great. There's lots of fancy shots and, like... You can see to yourself, like, how he was filming this nonsense. He was thinking to himself, okay, yeah, it's a shit scene and, like, blah, 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 but, like, we can put this shot in here and we can put this, like, crane shot and let's have a one long take here. Like, yeah. No. Sorry, dude.
It takes so much effort to make a movie this bad that they had to be trying to make a good movie.
Yeah, because normally you watch these movies and it's like...
No, I agree. You changed my mind because I don't think they were trying to make a bad film.
No.
I think they were trying to make the best film ever.
None of the films that we're watching on this podcast, I'm purposely trying to avoid situations where they are trying to make a bad movie.
Right, because we don't want to...
And this level of, like, miscommunication is wonderful. Because it's just... We've sat... Like, the last movie we sat through, right? Like, you ranted about how you thought the director who made that movie... was just, like, a fucking lazy piece of shit.
A hack, yeah.
Because it's just flat. Just put down the camera, shoot, cut, move on. Like, or Psycho from Texas, right? Just flat.
Oh, God, yeah.
Flat, right? And it's just, like, lazy. It's a lazy shit film with a lazy director. But in this case, it's, like, it's a shit film, and the director just thinks he's fucking, like Orson Welles.
Yeah, right.
Or Francis Ford Coppola.
Or fucking, like, Alfred Hitchcock.
Like, he really thought he was, like...
Yeah.
One day. Like, he was filming this and thinking, you know, all those guys at film school, they thought I was garbage.
I'm surprised he didn't put himself in the movie.
I know. Like...
I mean, I'm literally surprised
he didn't. Seriously, like, I'm surprised that, like, it doesn't have those, like, weird trademarks.
Now, unfortunately, you are going to have to spend money on this. It's only $3 to rent it on Amazon.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's fucking worth it.
Get some friends together that love B movies and just enjoy the hell out of this movie, because it is so bad. It is so, so bad.
It's fascinating.
It is incredible to look into this movie and just pick it apart.
It's absolutely fascinating, and I think this is why we have this podcast. Like, yes. This is...
These kind of movies would make it worth it.
And this is golden.
Yes.
This is one of those, like...
This, like, doesn't come around too often.
It really doesn't.
This,
like,
this bad of a movie where they're trying so hard to be good, it doesn't come around this often, so we have to cherish it when it comes around.
You do. I'm sorry, this is... This should be in a museum.
I agree. But now we have a much more important mission.
Oh, no.
We have to categorize...
Because, yeah, we are at the end.
We have worst of the worst, worst of the... Best of the worst.
So it's best of the best.
Best of the best.
Best of the worst.
Best of the worst.
And then worst of the worst. Worst of the worst, because we have to save the shit for last.
Exactly. So do you want to go first on your best of the best, or should I?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Last time.
What is your best of the best?
I struggled with this.
I already know what mine is.
I struggled with this.
I think everyone knows what's coming with mine, so.
Possibly. I did struggle with this a bit. Because
we had some solid hitters in this year.
I did. It was down to two movies for me.
Okay.
Bug and Psychic Killer.
Fair.
Because
those are solid movies.
I think that just on any level you look at it, they aren't bad movies at all. They are good movies. And I struggled because, I don't know, like, I just don't think objectively... They are good movies.
They're kind of criminally underrated, I would say. Like, because they're decent movies. They're really fun to watch. They just, like, work. I don't know. They're just fun, like, little movies that, like, people that fly under the radar all the time. Yeah. And no one really talks about them, which is sad because they're actually decent.
Yeah, but they're good. And I struggled with this, but at the end of the day, I do have to say... Psychic Killer.
Solid.
It's...
I agree.
Bug is good. It's a good movie. I enjoy how dark and depressing and weird it is. But Psychic Killer is just... It's me. It understands me.
It's
a movie that has a weirdo nurse who gets off on, like, sexually tormenting old men.
I love the, like, caricatures they make with these, like, I keep reiterating this, but, like, they act like these, like, wacky, like, evil cartoon characters.
And it's great.
These morbid cartoon characters.
And it goes in there.
Yeah.
And, like, I really enjoyed the characters. I really enjoyed I like the little, even apart from, like, the quote-unquote bad characters, I liked all the characters. I liked their little quirks, the little, like, relationships. It had its creepy moments, like the scene in the butcher shop with the guy on, like, the fucking hook.
Yeah.
It had, I don't know, like, for me, it has enough of that weirdness, and it's well made.
Alex, he killed a guy for high meat prices.
That was beautiful.
He legit killed a guy.
Fucking shredded him.
Because he had high meat prices.
After the guy bitched out a woman for using food stamps, like... It's amazing. I love it.
Like, you could almost argue all those people that he killed almost, like, kind of deserved it.
But the fact that they are all so cartoonish and so, like, interesting. Because it's one thing if they were just cartoonish, but the fact that they are, like, amusing and interesting.
The lawyer, though.
The best death.
That is the best death.
Like, the way that was set up.
That was beautiful, man. That
and also, like, it's well directed. It's a good looking movie. It's, like, it's well acted. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why it's so low rated, honestly. I think it's a good movie, and for me, it hits all the right spots for me.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So, I guess I could kill her.
All right. So, mine might not come as a surprise to some people if you've been paying attention to what I love. I could
probably guess.
So, you talk about movies that just get you.
That just get you.
On every level. They just, they're so you, and, like, I was thinking about this because I did like a lot of these movies. Like, Dolomite was one of them because, like, I loved, like, the way they just didn't care. They made like a just like goofy, stupid blaxploitation movie, but didn't care about like what they were doing or anything. Bug was actually really good and dark and bleak, and I loved it. Psychic Killer, I agree with all your points. Like, it hit it. But, I'm sorry, a movie that just gets me to a core, and most people will disagree with me on this, on my best of the best. I'm sorry, but my best of the best has to go to Inferman.
I knew it.
It has to go to Inferman.
I know it.
Because that speaks to my fandom so goddamn much.
That is literally you.
It is the movie that I enjoyed it the most of any movie we watched.
It's not just that it's you, but it also it's you and some kung fu.
It is so goddamn goofy and cartoony, but I love every single second of it. It is just like the epitome of a really just fucking fun movie to watch.
You know what it is? It's pure.
It is. Because it knew what it was doing. It has just the most ridiculous villains, the most ridiculous Goonies that he has to fight.
Princess Dragon Mom.
The story is ridiculous. Like, everything is crazy in that movie. It's ridiculous. Scene. It's over the top. But that's what I love. Yeah. I love the over the top. I love that they were just like, you know what? Fuck it. We just have some guy that becomes a Japanese superhero and fights a bunch of like skeletons that have helmets on for some reason. And, like, you know, they just went for it. They're just like, whatever, let's fucking do it. They even have, like, a giant fight scene. It's beautiful. Well,
they have multiple giant fight scenes. That's the best part.
It's beautiful, and it hits my soul on every level. So that's why it's my best of the best.
Solid.
Now, we go
to best of the worst. Well.
You can go again.
Well, oh boy.
This was a hard one for me.
No. Well, this was originally hard, but it became more clear to me once my third eye was opened. So, this was kind of... I wasn't sure at first. Originally, I was going to say either Black Force, because it's just so unmistakably Black Force.
It's true. It is its own brand.
It's pure shit. Because there's Inframan, which is just pure. Black Force is also very pure. And the more I think about it, the more it just seems like a bunch of friends made a kung fu movie.
Exactly. But, or like a kung fu class.
And somehow that fucking movie made it to distribution and we sat through it. It's just wonderful. That was one of them. I did also enjoy Mean Johnny Barrows, but I don't think it's really bad. Per se,
I didn't think it was bad.
It's, you know, I don't think it's bad enough to even be considered in this, so I kind of disqualified that. The other one that I would have said, because it's not a good movie, but holy shit was it fun, was Dolomite. I fucking love. Rudy Ray Moore is just an absolute god amongst men. Really, a chubby, awkward god amongst men.
That does weird, like, that wears rhymes.
His pants to his fucking stomach. He's great. But then...
Then your third eye has been opened.
Then Frozen Scream came along. And, oh boy, this is it. Because it really does epitomize those two words. Best. Worst. Because this really is the best of the fucking worst. Holy shit.
So I wish I could disagree with you on this one. I was like, I had so many like thoughts about other movies.
And I know, everything. It's just, but they just can't beat it.
And so like, I can't say anything because that's my best of the worst.
Well, they can't beat it. All of those other movies, as bad as they are...
Because I was going to say, like, Darktown Strutters, I was going to say...
No, for
like,
best of the worst?
Possibly.
How the fuck no?
It's not the worst of the worst, I know that.
No, it's not the worst of the worst, but best?
Well, I was maybe going to say Snuff or Criminally Insane.
Criminally Insane I can see, because that was fun. Snuff is Snuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I was also going to say Dolomite, even though I was considering that for my best of the best, just because of how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah. See, for me, Dolomite is, it's objectively bad, but boy, it's so, it elevates itself.
So mine would be Frozen Scream as well.
It
fits that category to a fucking T.
It can't be beat.
It is the best of the worst of 1975. Like, hands down, like, no contest.
You can't beat it.
No. And if you watch it, you'll understand.
You'll know. Like, that's all we have to, that's why we say it again. Watch it.
If you've been following along with us and watching these movies either before or after we review them, like, just watch this movie and be like, yeah, okay, I can see that.
You can't beat it.
You just can't.
It's so unmistakably Frozen Scream. It's its own thing. It will open your third eye.
It will. And to bad movies.
You'll never fucking sit through anything else again.
Exactly. It's ruined bad movies for me.
It does. But it can't be beat, and yeah, has to be unanimous. Now.
Oh, God.
The shit.
The shit. We waded into it.
Yeah, this is the stink.
This is the one I've had the hardest time with, because there's been some real stinkers.
I didn't.
You already know what it is.
Yeah, I know. I knew it the second I watched it. The second I fucking had to sit through this garbage dump. But let's say my contenders for this.
Okay.
Trucker's Woman was a contender.
That was one of mine.
Because, I mean, it wasn't even, a month ago? We watched it a month ago, Will, and I don't fucking remember shit.
I don't either.
I remember that a guy died in a car accident in the beginning of the movie through the power of bad editing. And then a guy, like, raped a woman into loving him. And meh.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
Garbage. It's
very forgettable.
It's the fucking off-brand version of Truck Stop Women, which I fucking love. Snuff was my other one. Because
Snuff was...
It's just...
Bad.
I mean...
It's just Snuff.
God. It is Snuff. And it doesn't have... You know, I guess it's similar to, like, you know, Frozen Scream, but Snuff is just... It's just too fucking incompetent. The directing is just so fucking shit, and the dubbing, and the fucking... The only reason it's noteworthy is because of that weird fucking ending.
Yeah.
Which is just tacked on. So Snuff was there, but... The movie... Fucking... Psycho... From Texas!
Wheeler!
Wheeler.
Wheeler.
Fuck this movie. This is worthless. Like, Trucker's Women, at least, I sort of remember, like, some things about it. At least it didn't make me feel as shit. At least it didn't have, like, weird fucking racism that was, like, 100 years out of date. At least it didn't have the beer scene. Snuff, as shit as it was, at least had sort of a shamelessness to it. Like, they weren't hiding the fact that they were making garbage. They just put it out there. They just took their garbage and just laid it on your table and just said, look at it.
Eat up.
Look at it. Whereas Psycho from Texas was just like, oh, we're gonna, make a movie about Psycho, yeah. And then in the last 5 minutes, there's gonna be a scene where he pours beer on a naked woman.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just, like, nothing... It's a kidnapping movie where your kidnapped victim spends 90% of the movie running away from a guy in the swamp, and the other guy goes around town trying to buy weed.
Yep.
That's the movie.
So, mine... I was trying to think about this, because, again, like you said, there was contenders.
There was contenders for every category.
So... Like, I was thinking, like, because Darktown Strutters, I was almost thinking of it for, like, best of the worst, just because of, I liked the style of the movie. I didn't like anything in the movie. See, like,
for me, I hated that movie, but...
But...
Does have, like you said, style, and there is a certain, I guess, dedication... Like, I mean, someone believed in it,
but
I don't, but they did. I was also
thinking about it for my worst of the worst, because yeah. I hated everything else about it. So, Snuff was on there too. Kind of went back and forth. At the end, I kind of had to. I was like, Psycho from Texas or I Don't Want to Be Born.
Solid.
I was like, solid shit. Let's see. Which one did I hate more? And I think just because, and not that yours is a bad choice, but I think just because of how much wasted potential there was and how good the movie could have been if they just tried a little bit fucking harder, and how much I fucking hate that director, it has to go with, I have to go with I Don't Want to Be Born.
Oh, so because I see what you're doing.
Fuck that lazy piece of shit.
I see what you're doing. You're doing the, like, Asian parent thing here. You're doing the old, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Exactly.
See, I just went full on mad.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about potential.
Oh, I don't.
But you're trying to hit him where it hurts.
Don't get me wrong. I fucking hated Psycho Killer from Texas. I fucking hated it. Every single second of it was pure torture. But I have to go for the throat because it is such a wasted potential. This director, I'm just mad at the director, really. Because there was so much he could have done to fix the movie, and he fucking didn't. He just went for the fucking lazy, like, oh, I don't have to try kind of thing.
Just have shots of a baby looking bored.
The fact that a fucking midget curses a woman into having a demon child.
That is possessed by him.
That is possessed by him.
But apparently he is unaware of this possession. Through the whole fucking movie, there is no indication he is aware of this possession, but somehow at the very end, when the exorcist does her fucking, you know, 5-minute exorcist for dummies routine on him, he dies.
And that's why it's my worst of the worst. It's just, like, Wheeler, everything about it was torture. This, everything about it was torture, and I was fucking mad that the director couldn't make a decent fucking film about a possessed child.
Understand.
I don't get it. I don't fucking get how you take that concept and make a just what the fuck was he doing?
Just go watch.
Cursed by a fucking midget? Are you kidding me?
Just go watch It's Alive.
Go watch It's Alive. Go watch The Omen. Fucking watch anything other than those two films.
Anything.
Don't watch Psycho Killer from Texas and don't fucking watch fucking the fucking, why did I forget the title? I Don't Want to Be Born.
I don't want to be bored.
Yeah, exactly, and I was the whole fucking movie, and I was just mad.
Mad.
Okay. Sorry.
Don't get mad. Rant over. Get glad.
No.
Wow.
But I will agree with you. Holy shit. Psycho Killer, Psycho from Texas. Just everything about it is wrong. The racism, the sexism, the fucking, like,
the no plot.
Everything.
The fucking...
So it was really hard, but I think it's just... It just boiled down to me being mad at the fucking director.
Yeah, because with Psycho from Texas, I can't even say that there was any potential. I'm just, like, baffled at, like... That's it?
Yeah.
Consensual mommy fucking?
Is why he turned into a psycho?
That's it?
Yeah.
That's the best you got?
That's the best they had.
Like, it wouldn't even take you any effort to make it better.
No.
But you just didn't do it. You didn't want to do it. Because Jim Fiesel, you are a fuck. You fuck?
Fuck.
You are a fuck.
So that, goddamn, that was 1975. I'm on stoked. To 76.
Fuck yeah.
I'm excited.
I am fucking stoked. I don't even give a shit. I don't give a shit if it's bad. We are in the thick of it. I am...
Dude, I'm just excited for this whole thing. Like,
I don't know. Is my jam, like...
For me, the podcast couldn't be going better. Like, I am absolutely in love with this podcast. Like,
I'm getting thorough entertainment from these movies.
Me too. And the fact that we get to watch them, like, twice a week is, yes, a little hard on my mental strain, but it's... Nah. It's fun. It's just fun watching all these movies.
Well, we watched Bug... And Psycho Killer and Dolomite.
And Inframan.
And Inframan and Mean Johnny Barrows. I almost said Johnny Strutters. But we got to watch these movies. We would not have watched them without this podcast.
It's true.
And guess what? We fucking like them.
Yeah, they're good.
So fuck y'all.
We're going to continue this whether you listen or not, but thank you for listening if you do. So
Frozen Scream.
Go watch Frozen Scream. And remember to go to our YouTube page. That's They Mostly Come Out at Night podcast on YouTube. And you just smash that subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe button!
Ding-a-ling that fucking bell! And you'll get notifications of when we go live on Sunday. We're going to do probably six hours of fucking terrible-ass games that we don't want to play.
But
we do it to hang out with you.
But most importantly, smash that subscribe button! And fucking follow us on Twitter and Instagram!
Fucking crack that bell like the Liberty Bell!
Post a comment on my web zone! Post it, bitch!
You follow us on Podbean! Fucking Apple fucking Music or whatever the shit it is! Give us
fucking money,
Google
bitch!
Google Play! Fucking, we don't get any money from this, but fucking...
fucking send it to us!
Fucking scribe! Patreon, even though we don't have one!
Yeah, just give it to us.
Yeah, fuck it.
Just send it to us.
But thank you for listening. You know, we appreciate it.
Smash that button.
Just fucking...
Smash that button Wheeler's mommy got smashed.
Just fucking falcon punch that bell.
Fucking punch it like Inframan punched everybody.
Rocket fist like Iron Man. Rocket fist that subscribe button. Please.
Do it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
We are They Mostly Come In at Night, and we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
My rafflecopter goes swash, 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 swash.